Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine Food Friday, January 4th. I'm Ray Graff. On this first Food Friday of 2019, we turn our attention to an important topic, food access. And here to discuss how the issue impacts New York's Capital Region and the choices many people face in their daily diets are Amy Halloran of Unity House and Amy Klein of Capital Roots. Both nonprofits are based in Troy, and both Amys have been on WAMC airwaves before to share their knowledge of food justice. If you have a question or comment about food rights, justice, or access, now's the time to call. Number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us if you want, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Your call's coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today on this Food Friday, we explore the state of food access and justice in our region. And here to help us do that, Amy Halloran and Amy Klein. Amy Halloran, a Food Friday favorite, is the food security manager at Unity House in Troy. The organization serves lunch Monday through Friday to 100 to 150 people and has a food pantry that about 1,000 people a month rely upon for a three-day supply of food. The author of the new bread basket, Amy Halloran, is a flour fanatic, and that's understating it, and teaches classes on whole grain and sourdough baking and speaks widely on regional grain systems. Amy Klein is CEO of Capital Roots, where she spearheads the 40-year-old nonprofit's mission to nourish healthy communities by providing access to fresh food and green spaces for all. Since joining Capital Roots more than 22 years ago, she has launched 10 new programs that increase access to fresh, affordable food in the Capital Region's underserved neighborhoods and expanded the nonprofit's geographical reach to include four counties. She currently oversees a staff of 32 who work to implement the various programs that have been created under her leadership, including the nationally recognized Veggie Mobile, which is pretty exciting, and we've heard about that before. Amy and Amy, welcome to Food Friday.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ray.
Nice to have you both here. The number is 800-348-2551. If you have a question or comment about food access and food security, 800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Well, Amy Klein, first of all, welcome to Vox Pop. This your first show?
It's my first Vox Pop, yes.
You are really in luck because Amy Halloran is, she's a pro at this now.
She's a pro at everything.
She's been on the show a long time. No, she's got the gift of gab, so just try to get a word in edgewise when you can.
Amy and I work together very frequently, so.
Well, we'll talk about Capital Roots in a moment, but I wanted to ask Amy Halloran. Amy, you have been talking about doing a show on this topic for a couple of years now.
Yes, I have. This is representative of my paid work, because we all know that writing is a crime that does not pay. So, to put food on the table, I work at Unity House, as I have for 5 years. I help run the kitchen, make sure it's stocked with lots of great food, and I make sure the pantry is stocked. And I work with community partners like Capital Roots to try to really build up what we're doing there. This topic of food access, food security, food justice, we all need to know a lot more about the right to food. In America, we have the right to clean air, the right to education. We assume the right to clean water, although that's been challenged lately. And we don't think about a right to food, but we really should. The UN recognizes food as a human right, and I think we all deserve access to healthy, nourishing food. Not peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and vitamin pills. Not just calories, but really good quality food that fills more than the belly, fills the heart, fills that community need that we have. Food brought us together from the very beginning. Food still has a great capacity for heart and soul, but there's just not great access to healthy food. And we're working on making that happen. So I'm really glad to do this at the beginning of the year, because here we are at the beginning of the year and a lot of us feel an obligation to improve our diets. But let's take the lens back, take back the microscope from our sugar habits, from the things that, you know, are making our waistlines all stretchy and hibernation mode, and look at our society and look at the food structures that exist, so that we can see how we are feeding each other and see what we can do to improve that.
That's interesting. Go ahead, Amy.
But not in a judgmental way, I would say.
Oh, no,
and
no.
And I know Amy doesn't mean it in that way, but I think that's critically important, because often we get judgmental about how people eat when they are low-resourced. And, you know, when we look at food, and I mean that in the collective way, and especially Amy and our organization, we're looking at, you know, how we can give people options so that we can level the playing field about food options.
Because, right.
You know, it's really about providing with dignity and giving people options, not being judgmental.
We are here with Amy Halloran today of Unity House and Amy Klein, who is the CEO of Capital Roots. And Amy Klein, you have been with Capital Roots now a couple of decades.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Amy Halloran mentioned pulling the camera back to a wide shot. And as you have now traversed 22 years in Capital Roots, how do you get a good picture of the state of the situation? In other words, of the gravity of the situation.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, for me, it's really not... I guess gravity is a word that doesn't sit for me. But, you know, I look at the history of what has gone on with food security and food access, and I look at what our organization, Capital Roots, has done to respond to that. We started out as a community gardening organization. We build and manage community gardens. We have 55 of them, and it's a place where people can grow their own food, and that's wonderful, and we provide people all the resources that they need to do that, but that's not going to be the answer for everyone. And so about 15 years ago, we really started looking at this issue of fresh food access, healthy food access, and this was at a time before the USDA had declared these places called food deserts, which now everybody is very keen on talking about, and really before food pantries and emergency food providers were at all interested in providing fresh, healthy food to their constituents, because they didn't have the resources to do it, because they didn't have the infrastructure, and they really didn't think that their constituents wanted fresh, healthy food. But we knew, because we were working with the same constituents, that people did. Everybody wants to eat well. It's just a question of access and affordability. And so we started to develop a series of programs and ways for people to access fresh food in their neighborhoods at an affordable price, so that they could do that with dignity. And to give people access to top quality food, because just because you're low resource doesn't mean you should have seconds or sort of the dregs. Mm. And that's really become a big focus of our work in terms of our food access with our mobile markets, the Veggie Mobile, our Healthy Stores program, our online market and the like. And it's gratifying to see that the emergency food programs have now embraced the idea of fresh produce and that is a focus. But there's so much more that really needs to be done, because emergency food is really only a very small piece of what people need to be able to access food on a regular basis.
Amy Klein is here from Capital Roots. Amy Halloran is here from Unity House. And our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. And I promise we'll get to calls momentarily here. Amy Halloran, Amy Klein mentioned that term, and we've all heard it, and maybe we don't all fully understand it. The food desert. Explain.
Okay, so the food desert is actually now falling out of favor in larger circles, too, mm-hmm. because that concept is that there's not a full-service grocery store within a mile. So this includes rural areas where a full produce aisle, fully stocked supermarket can be 30 miles away. It also includes urban cities, I mean, urban cities, not your rural cities,
right, no,
but urban areas where supermarkets have also left. The better terms to think about are food swamps, because in both of those urban and rural areas, fast food and convenience stores have sprung up to provide very cheap, very highly processed food to fill the dietary gap. And Leah Penniman and Soulfire Farm have called it food apartheid. Now, food apartheid is a structural system, right? Apartheid is a human-made system. A desert is a naturally made system. And all of these food systems we're living in are constructs. So I think food apartheid can get better at things, even though it's got a, you know, a heavy axe sound to it. In honesty, if we want to look at the structure of how food is accessible to people, we can think about it in harsher terms.
All right, we'll get into all of that in greater detail as the program wears on. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Food Friday, and today we talk about food access and justice with Amy Klein and Amy Halloran, and the number is 800-348-2551. Hang in there. If you're on the line, we'll get to the calls coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. It's a Food Friday, and we have Amy Halloran here in a slightly different role. Usually, she by this time in the program, she is ranting and raving about grains and breads and pancakes. Today, it's a different mission. And also joining Amy is Amy Klein of Capital Roots, and we talk today about food access and justice in our region. Let's take a couple of calls here, and then we'll move on. Tina in Southfield, Connecticut. Tina, you're on.
Hi. I'm not sure if this is applicable or an applicable question, but I was recently in a conversation with someone that said to me, I buy organic food. I believe in organic food. I want my food as clean as possible. I know you say fresh food, but I like organic food. And they said to me that organic food takes food out of the mouths of other people because we're growing organically takes up land that could produce much more to feed more people. How do you feel about that statement?
Amy is shaking her head.
I've got a lot to say. Okay, so we are organic management of land does not take more land to get the food. We have a food system that I think can afford to shift in America to organic production, but it's very difficult to make that transition. Right now, only 1% of agriculture is in organics. This is why it's expensive. And there's not a lot of government support for transitioning to organics. There's a 3-year period required for farmers to get their land in condition so that you're not using pesticides and other conditions that are not good for that are not part of the requirements for organic. So that 3-year period is a time when farmers face the steep learning curve of a different way to grow. And organic markets don't necessarily have the services that conventional markets have these days. So for instance, as people are trying to transition to organic grain production in the Midwest, you have to drive way further to get your product to the grain elevators. So it's not taking food from anyone's mouth to buy organic food or to ask for organic food. The land certainly asks for better treatment than conventional growing is providing. Farmers certainly deserve 100% better treatment than pesticides can provide. We can grow organically and feed everyone. there's a lot of work to change organics, a lot of work to change minds and markets for organics.
So what I would say to respond to your question or to add to that is just I really think it's about knowing your farmer and connecting with farmers, because a lot of farmers are using organic practices and are not certified organic. And, you know, it's important to recognize that, because people do get hung up on the certified organic label, and because there's expense associated with being certified organic, and there are, you know, there's all sorts of paperwork that go with that. Many farmers are not certifying themselves as organic, but are using organic practices. And I think really when you go to the farmers market, when you connect with your farmers and you know them, or you're using a trusted resource, that's really what's most important, that you're connecting with clean food. And, you know, that's really what you should be concentrating on.
Right, because we don't...
Well, yeah, I belong to a CSA for years now.
And that's wonderful.
Initially, the CSA was using organic practices. However, they weren't yet certified. It was expensive for them.
Exactly.
But I stuck with them because I knew that they tried to make their food as clean as possible. Well, they eventually became certified organic, which, you know, I was so happy about. But it just seems to me that there should be some sort of government program that mandates farmers to transition away from all these pesticides. I mean, the people would be so much healthier. But they say that you wouldn't produce as much food. And with the population growing exponentially every year, you need to make more food, and you can't do that organically. And it didn't sound right to me, but...
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it.
There's been a lot of studies to refute that idea that organics is not as productive. There's a lot of business tied up into the state of farming as we have it. But I think change is on the horizon because consumers are wanting healthier and healthier food. Change is coming.
Let's go on over to Ken and Tilson. The number's 800-348-2551. Ken, you're on.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
I'm Ken, and I work with the Rosendale Farmers Market in beautiful Rosendale, New York. And we take SNAP, and we're just having a problem getting SNAP recipients to understand the value of coming to a local farmer's market. They just think that the food is more expensive and the value is not there. And I'm wondering if you could give me some hints as how I could convince them otherwise.
So I would love to take that call. This is Amy Klein with Capital Roots. And it's the reason that we provide the programming that we do, because unfortunately for many, farmer's markets are not ideal for many of the constituents that we're trying to reach that are low resourced. And it often doesn't have to do with, some of the things that you mentioned, but it has really to do with the sort of cultural appropriateness of the market. Many times farmers markets are really focused on a different clientele, and because farmers need to attract a higher end clientele to make the money that they need to at a particular farmer's market. You know, you're priced accordingly, but it's also what you're attracting in terms of, you know, other people coming to the market. And people who are low resourced or who are more culturally diverse might not feel comfortable at your market, which is why you need, in a food system, to provide this kind of access, you need a multitude of different options for people. Farmers markets can't be the only option. And that's not to say that we're looking to cut farmers out of this process. We buy from 55% of the produce that we're selling is locally grown. And so farmers have a big role in that. It's just that farmers markets might not be the retail solution for those constituents, for low-resourced individuals.
Right. We have such cultural divides, and making sure everyone feels like they belong and could afford something. One national movement that makes that happen is double bucks programs where nonprofits are securing twice the value for SNAP coupons, SNAP benefits spent at farmers markets. So if you could find in Rosendale an organization that would be willing to really draw in the SNAP population by doubling up their dollars, I think that would be great. Take a look at the models from Wholesome Wave.
Amy Halloran is here from Unity House in Troy. Amy Klein of Capital Roots is here. We talk food access and justice today. Amy Klein, I always wanted to ask you, tell me about this veggie mobile.
Well, the veggie mobile is a produce aisle on wheels. We drive around to different locations. It has a set schedule, so you know every day where it's going to be. It's the same time each week. We go to low-income housing locations, senior centers. Our stops are usually about an hour. We play fun music, so it's an event in addition to being able to shop the produce aisle. As I said, about 55% of our produce is locally grown. It's year-round, so it's not just seasonal. We take SNAP benefits as well as Farmers Market Nutrition Program coupons. And our staff really gets to know our customers and helps people really engage with their produce buying so they can use their benefits to, the best of their ability. And our produce, because we are a nonprofit and we are not making a profit, is about half the cost of what you could buy it for in the supermarket. So it's very low cost, but is really one of the most important things, not just that it's accessible. We sort of have a four-legged stool that we built the veggie mobile based on. One that's,
and hopefully some wheels as well.
We do have wheels.
Okay, good.
But the stool is really the concept that it was based on. One was accessibility, so we're in the neighborhoods where people need to access fresh food. Two, it's low cost. Three is that it's top quality. So this is not seconds. It's first bought. It's bought directly either from farmers or from wholesale distributors. So it's the best. And we cull through to make sure there's nothing that's not top quality. And fourth, it's provided with dignity. So people get to shop for what they want. And it's not like, here, take this and be glad for it kind of thing.
Has it been well received?
Incredibly.
Really?
From the first day we went on the road 10 years ago, there was a line waiting for us, and it's been that way ever since. We put a second on the road, our Veggiemobile Sprout. It's sort of the baby of the family. And it's been a really fantastic program. We're grateful. We have support from different avenues, including CDPHP is our big supporter that makes it happen. But it's really a fantastic program. And we use it to layer on with other programs to give people access in the neighborhoods that we're supporting.
It's really key. In our pantry, I make sure we have recipes for different foods we have available. We have a free produce aisle, and we also have the Veggiemobile schedules. And when I'm shopping with somebody, I always say, hey, when you see someone who's really excited about all the free produce that they can get right there, I say, hey, I see you like this. This is when you can get it. Go over to Kennedy Towers on Thursday, and you can also shop very affordably there. And the Taste and Take program is another great part of it. It's a really great resource.
And, when we first started the Veggiemobile, people said to us, there were a lot of doubters. People said, people aren't going to pay for produce because it was considered a throwaway commodity. People aren't going to spend their money. They're not going to use their food stamps on produce. But the reality is, just because you're low resourced does not mean you're not like everybody else. And, I always try to put myself in somebody else's shoes, and people want good food and they're willing to pay for it within their means. And so whether it means using their, SNAP benefits or using their disposable income, they'd rather, buy a good quality, squash that that they can, you know, use one of our recipes and make a nice meal easily with very few ingredients, than, you know, go and spend money at McDonald's on something that is not going to be healthy for their family.
I want to take a sec to talk about that myth there.
Okay, I want to grab a call here, but go ahead.
Yeah, just the myth, the idea that there is an us that knows and prefers healthy food, and a them that is an underclass that just wants junk food. That is so not true. People know what it is to eat healthy. We have a real income inequality program. Yeah, we have a problem in our country. And one of the places where it can really hit first front is in food, because you can choose whether or not to spend money on food. You can't choose whether to have rent. You can't choose whether to have a cell phone. You can't choose whether to have utilities. So your diet dollars are going to get hurt the worst.
The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop Food Friday, Food Access and Justice Today with Amy Halloran and Amy Klein. And Sam in Oneonta has been waiting a while. Sam, you're on.
Yes, thank you, everybody, for being there. Could you please talk about the linkage between poverty and healthy eating and health care? Because it seems to me that healthy eating is the basis of good health care. It's like preventive medicine.
It is exactly preventative medicine. And that's one of the reasons the Capital Roots started down the path of working on food access, because we saw the impact that people growing their own food was having on their health. Certainly, when you grow your own food, you're also engaging in physical activity. But the idea that when you grow your own food, you're also gaining access to all this wonderful fresh food. And we realized that even as we were building many community gardens, it couldn't be the answer for a lot of people, because they just didn't have the time and energy to be able to do that. And yet, as Amy Halloran was saying, you know, we have this great divide, and there are so many people who do want to be able to eat well and eat for their health and their family's health. And so, you know, you really need to think about how you can provide that for the benefit of people who are looking to impact their health. And often the people who are dealing with those health-related diseases are the same people who are having trouble with food access. So there are people who are in low-income neighborhoods who have, you know, difficulty with healthcare issues. There are people suffering from type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and they could benefit the most from high-quality food but have the least access to it. So having better access to fresh food has a direct impact on people's ability to be healthy.
Right. The way I look at my job at Unity House is to improve the food environment. Because if we can improve the food environment by having a cafeteria line where half of your plate can be filled with produce and fruits and vegetables, where in the pantry you can take home a lot of produce for free or as part of your regular pantry bag, a 3-day supply of food, it's to improve the food environment. And, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take us as a country to wake up to the link between chronic non-communicable diseases, which is the umbrella of diet-related diseases, and the food system that we are privileging in terms of all the support systems that go toward the general food system.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Amy Klein at Amy Halloran here. And before we take our next break, and then we'll get back to the calls, Every now and then I'll pick up a phrase, and I heard you two saying, oh, we got to talk about the food assessment. What is that?
So Capital Roots has been spearheading for the last 2 years a regional food system assessment. We're looking at the 4 counties of our region on the consumption side and 11 counties in terms of production, processing, and distribution. And it's a large research project that we're working on. Amy is on our steering committee, as well as other key leaders and key organizations in the region. And really, we're looking to how we can build resilience on the economic side for our producers and distributors, and how we can focus on, in terms of consumption, where the real need is, and how we can problem solve and create opportunities and identify solutions for policymakers and funders in the region. Instead of sort of throwing money at problems, how we can really shine a light on some potential solutions so that there's a better understanding of where the needs are on the consumption side and where the opportunities are for the economics of our agricultural side.
What exactly, and we only have a minute here before the next break, do you mean by resilience for the producers?
So, you know, Amy mentioned earlier that, or alluded to, that our farmers are struggling. We, you know, are in an rich agricultural region, and yet, we talk about low income. Our farmers are low income. They are struggling desperately. And yet, we have tremendous opportunity here, because we have an agricultural region that is rich and diverse, and we could do so much to help bolster that. And so we're looking through this regional food system assessment to identify those areas that we could help our farmers, our other producers, and our distributors by identifying what those needs are.
And, you know, that's a win-win-win all the way down the
Absolutely.
Supply chain. We have to take a quick break here. Amy Klein and Amy Halloran are here. It's Food Access and Security Today on the program. And we'll get to some more calls. I know people have been waiting. We'll do that in a moment. 800-348-2551. Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran is here from Unity House in Troy, and Amy Klein, the CEO of Capital Roots, are here, and we talk about food access today. And this one came in via email, and then I promise we'll jump back on the line. Jane in Livingston Manor, you'll be the first one we go to. This one is from Jules, an email. I live in what qualifies as a food desert in Uptown Albany, near the Uptown U Albany campus. It's 2 to 2.5 miles to a supermarket, and the Italian delis, drugstores, etc. don't sell fresh veggies. Is there any way we can get the veggie mobile to come there? Well, that's got to be an issue. Now, you guys serve 4 counties.
We do.
So it's got to be tough to pick and choose.
It is. And, you know, we do modify our schedules sometimes. I would encourage the listener to check out our website, capitalroots.org, to check our schedule. We have quite a few stops in Albany. We also have our Healthy Stores program, where we work with local corner stores and we provide them the infrastructure to be able to sell fresh produce. And we indicate how much they can sell the produce for so that they are not selling it at a very high markup.
Are they okay with that?
They are. It's been a struggle working through that program, but it is a very successful program, and we now have over 20 locations where, they work with us to make that available to the community. So it's another one of those layers that I mentioned.
What's in it for them, though? If you say, well, listen, you can't do your usual markup on this, how do you say to the general manager or the regional manager, This is for you, too.
So it's, these are mom and pop locations. They're independent stores. And, the way we sort of talk about our Healthy Stores program is we're kind of the Frito-Lay's guy of fresh produce. And in just the way that Frito-Lay's has their price point, fresh produce should have their price point. And so you know, they are making, you know, a nickel or a dime on whatever the produce item is, in just the way they're making a nickel or a dime on that package of Fritos. Doesn't mean they should be making a dollar on a banana. That's the reality.
That's also capitalism. That's why I say, how do you get them to go along with that?
Right. Well, it's really understanding and having the store owner understand and embrace the idea that they want to be part of a community solution to fresh access and food access, and also driving business to their store. And that's what we help them do. So we provide all the marketing materials that draw people into the store saying there's fresh produce available. So if people are coming into their store as opposed to the three other stores in the neighborhood or on that block, because they're the ones who have fresh produce, they're likely to do a little more business. And every bit for a store owner helps, because really these stores make their money off of lottery tickets, cigarettes, and beer. And, you know, these other pieces of business are just the little add-ons.
Yeah, these little stands are super. We have one in our Restyle thrift store at Unity House. So we have a tiny refrigerator that's stocked every week, sometimes twice a week, because while people are shopping in the thrift store or while people are working in the building, they get little snacks, collard greens, celery, all kinds of food you can just grab right there. It's an incredible program. I'm in love with it.
Hey, Amy Halloran is here, Amy Klein as well. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Jane in Livingston Manor, you've been very patient. You're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a two-part question. One is, I want to know whether all of the New York State farmers markets are interconnected. And then the second thing is, I just wanted to chime in on the discussion about using SNAP at the farmers market. And I am a SNAP recipient and would love to do my shopping at the farmers market, but it is just too expensive. In my experience, it's like double the price of what I could spend at ShopRite. And it's perishable, so, you know, your monthly allotment could be gone in half the time if you're spending a good portion of it at the farmer's market. And I was wondering if farmer's markets have ever discussed giving a discount to SNAP recipients.
Some farmers individually, you know, if you have a conversation, again, this is about knowing your farmer. If you have a conversation with the farmer individually, they might be willing to, you know, talk to you and work with you as an individual SNAP recipient. But you're talking about the problem that exists for SNAP recipients. You know, you're needing to stretch those dollars, and it can be challenging at a farmer's market, which is why
it can be very challenging.
Yes, which is why
and you know that at the end of the day, farmers are going home with stuff that won't get sold and will just get thrown out or fed to the animals.
Well, not necessarily. No farmer in their right mind wants to dispose of food that they can sell. Everyone along the food chain is facing ridiculously tight margins. Right. Direct marketing your own food at a farmer's market is among the many, many very hard jobs of farming. And squash hunger is one of the ways, this is another one of Capital Roots programs, that the end of the day food from a farmer's market is gathered and brought to places like Unity House, and other farmer's markets have individuals who are collecting food. I don't know of any grower who's going to take food home to the pigs. They're always looking for secondary markets. And people want to feed people. You know, everybody is tight. Is having a tough time earning a living around food and feeding themselves.
Yeah, and I would just say, you know, I understand how difficult it is to, you know, be living on SNAP and to be struggling with your own food security. And, you know, I think that when we're thinking about putting ourselves in other people's shoes, we need to do that across the board. And so, you know, farmers are struggling, and we need to be mindful of that, because they're not making tons of money on their product, and so we all need to support one another in this quest to find equity in our food system.
Go ahead, Amy.
Right, and I would just again, you know, suggest as we're thinking about this, see if your farmer's market can pair up with a healthcare organization, some nonprofit that can double up on those SNAP dollars to really make it better. And also check out when something is at the peak of season at farmers markets, especially the larger farmers markets and the larger vendor stalls, you can get great deals on food that's in season.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. We go to Andrew in Charlemont. You're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and I really appreciate this interesting conversation. I live on a small farm in the Pioneer Valley, and I just had a comment about one of the terms you used earlier, food apartheid. Mm-hmm. It's clearly a great term. It's 10,000 times more precise than food deserts. But when you use jargon like that, I feel like you turn off a lot more people than you turn on. In other words, people without the analytical training to make the metaphorical leap from apartheid to the institutions here concerning food are not going to keep listening to you. That's my only point. And a political movement requires broad support, not just to succeed, but to survive. And I think the easy-to-explain term is really valuable for speaking to a large audience.
Andrew, that's terrific. So which terminology do you think has the same kind of quick understanding to help people see that this is a structural problem and not a personal choice problem? I'm not advocating for the use of food apartheid.
I don't think there's a better term than that. I just think that in a quick pitch, your goal is to keep someone listening and make them think about it and maybe find out more about it. If they have time to listen to your very good explanation of what you meant by food apartheid, then you're in good shape. However, and I guess I'm just saying, when you use such specialized terms, you're either preaching to the choir or depending on your audience to have a background in reading, right, analytics. Yeah. Okay. Or to have studied the history of the civil rights movement. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I definitely agree. And it's why I avoid even the word food desert. I object to it all.
That's a great comment. Thank you very much,
Thanks
Andrew.
Thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Amy Klein is here of Capital Roots. Amy Halloran of Unity House in Troy. And Amy, you expanded Capital Roots into four counties now. What four counties?
Albany, Rensselaer, Schenectady, and Saratoga.
And so that was a pretty massive infrastructure increase to do that, yeah?
Yes, it's happened over time, you know, and it's happened organically.
Very nicely done. All right, back to the phones we go. And Susan in Kingston. Susan.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm not doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I have some interesting. We have a wonderful local organic-only farm here in Kingston.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Seed Song Farm.
Okay. Anybody? No?
No.
All right.
Sounds great.
Are you involved with that, Susan?
I try to get involved. I know a lot of people that are involved. The name of the guy is Creek Iverson, just like you spell Creek Water Creek. Okay. And it's at 160 Asophis Avenue in Kingston.
Well, thank you.
And they have a lot of food there. Sometimes they give you good prices.
Okay.
Well, and in regards to people with food stamps, in town at the People's Place, they have a wonderful selection of fruits, vegetables, and other foods.
Well, Susan, I appreciate that call, and I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you very much. Amy Halloran, Amy Klein, our guest today on Food Friday. Let's see, who's next on the big program? We go over to Mike. Mike in Greenfield. Mike, you're on.
Hi. I'm wondering how you make the difference between somebody who is a middle class, lower middle class person and can't afford organic food to somebody who gets it for free or double their money. I don't understand.
Okay.
I really don't understand.
Do our guests understand the question?
No.
No. Are you asking how Capital Roots decides who can use our programs?
Yes, actually.
Okay, that's a great question. Because, so anybody can use Capital Roots programs. We do not income test. You can come, anybody can come on board the Veggiemobile. And the idea for that is that our locations are focused on low resource neighborhoods and neighborhoods in need, but we encourage the building of community. And so if somebody who has more resources is interested in coming to Arbor Hill in Albany or Hamilton Hill in Schenectady,
right.
I say go for it. We'd love to have you and mix with your neighbors.
All right. Well, thank you for that one. Our number here is 800-348-2551. And it looks like we go to Caro in Western Massachusetts. You're on.
Hi there, I'm Carol. I work for the Northeast Organic Farming Association, the Massachusetts chapter, so that's NOFA Mass.
Okay.
And my question for you is, in Massachusetts, we have a program called the Healthy Incentives Program, which actually doubles SNAP benefits when used at farmers markets and at CSAs. I'm also a small farmer, and while I'm too small to participate in that program, a number of my farmer friends do participate in that program, and they're able to get a lot more low-income members in their CSAs. I'm wondering if that's something that New York State has considered doing.
Yeah, that's not available in most of the markets in New York State, unfortunately, and none of our markets here locally in the Capital Region. Capital Roots just reached out to an entity, I think it was in Buffalo, who is spearheading this and was trying to get it into our region, but it's unfortunately not available. And I know Massachusetts has really been at the forefront of that, and I applaud the efforts there. So it's tremendous.
Thank you for that call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. We have Amy Klein and Amy Halloran here, and we talk food security and food access. And now we go to Rosendale. Amy in Rosendale, you're on.
Yes, I haven't listened to every minute, so I hope I'm not repeating something somebody else has said.
That's all right. We do that.
But not all vegetables have to be fresh to be nutritious. Most people don't know that actually the top of the crop goes into food preservation, frozen and canned vegetables, and they have a lot of benefits. Fresh vegetables need to be used in 3 or 4 days. Many of us waste our money buying it because, you know, we just can't do it. I'm a registered dietitian. I formerly worked for SNAP-Ed, which is the nutrition education arm of the food stamp program, which is administered through the County Cornell Cooperative Extensions. And
right.
They have many recipes. Let me just give you one winter recipe, 3 canned chili, can of beans, can of corn, and a can of tomatoes. Put a little chili powder, and you've got something to feed your family that has protein.
Yep.
Vitamins, phytochemicals, everything.
Okay.
Amy, that's a great point. People in our pantry are certainly not getting any less nutrition. As a matter of fact, in some canned goods, the nutrition does increase. There's a great book called Eating Wild by nutritionist Joe Robinson, which details the way nutrition travels with fresh and preserved foods.
All right. Now, we have 1 minute left. Amy Klein, I'll give you 30 seconds. Give us what you want to know about Capital Roots, and then we'll go to Amy Halloran. What do you want to say?
Oh, gee. I guess, you know, we've talked a lot about our program, so I really would just encourage people to get involved. There are lots of ways to participate as a volunteer, but I really want to encourage people to open their minds in this new year about food security and food access, and encourage people to sort of walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, not think of low-income people as other than, but think of them as yourself and how you would struggle with your own food security. And also to understand that the emergency feeding system cannot provide for our neighbors in need, that we have to be thinking outside of the emergency feeding system to support full food security.
Amy Halloran, we are actually close to the end, but I know that you keep things really, really brief. So I'll give you five seconds. Go ahead.
5 seconds. Okay, so take a look at United Way's ALICE report, which details how 44% of New Yorkers are not earning enough to get their basic needs. Food is going to be sacrificed first. Places like Unity House can help keep people fed during these challenging times to be alive.
You know, you guys were both great. Amy Halloran, Amy Klein, thank you both for being here. Support comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring over 80 local farms and food vendors every Saturday, 9 to 2, in downtown Troy, winter indoor market in the atrium, troymarket.org. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the historic Town Hall in Sunderland, now booking holiday parties for the 2018-19 season, blueherondining.com/catering. And South Egremont Spirit Shop, located in the southwest corner of the Berkshires, specializing in curated small production wines and regional handcrafted spirits and beer. Real wine for the people, southegremontspirits.com. Thanks again to Amy Halloran of Unity House and Amy Klein of Capital Roots for joining us today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took the calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. Stand by for news.